B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out of town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper,
hey, Murray.
Gasper,
hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper,
hey, Murray.
Gasper,
hey, Murray.
Gasper,
hey, Murray.
Gasper.
All right, Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub, coming in from the Town Fair Tire Studio. We're both here today. We've got our guy behind the glass, Brian Robb, Mass Live, covering the Celtics, who will be with us for the contractually obligated Celtics Hour coming up in less than an hour. An hour which I will admit I'm looking forward to like a dentist appointment. But, we got to do it. The team keeps playing. Nothing's going to change. We'll get to them later. Chris, hi, how are you?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Great. The people want to know. You're going to stay for the extra half hour because the Bruins have a matinee against the Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. So they have asked us to stay till 2:30.
Yes.
I always say yes because I am a company man.
You are a company man.
How about you? Is there a sale going on at Neiman Marcus you got to rush to?
No, I'll be here.
All right. A bonus half hour of Gasper Murray
today. Way to bully me into it, right? I'm not even fully awake, and you just suckered me into staying with you.
I am a giant pain in the ass. Just ask my wife. All right, but it is my favorite weekend. You know this.
Yeah, I do.
I think anyone that listens with any regularity over the last handful of years knows this. Divisional weekend, NFL. Sure, it's happening on the weekend that it should be the championship weekend, but, you know, they had to crowbar in that extra game to the NFL schedule, so here we are, divisional weekend. And I think all these games, unlike last weekend, will be watchable and competitive. Well, maybe I'm being a little unfair. That second half of the Cowboys-Niners game was just wacky. Wasn't exactly like the cleanest game played. But, I guess it made for good theater. And Bengals-Raiders, fine. Although there was way too much ref involvement, but that's been rampant throughout the league throughout the whole year. But overall, I thought wildcard weekend mostly sucked, Chris. But we get these four games this weekend, which I think should really be competitive and good. And, of course, I think the one that you and I are most looking forward to, our guy, everyone's guy, our quarterback, the people's quarterback, Tom Brady, Bucks tomorrow at home against the L.A. Rams, a game that you and I both don't feel great about.
No, I don't feel great about it. Obviously, the Rams, you know, have beaten them each of the last two regular seasons. 2 years ago, they beat them at Raymond James. This year, they beat them at SoFi. Just don't think it's a good matchup for the Bucks, especially they're banged up front with Ryan Jensen and Tristan Wirfs, the right tackle. And L.A. has the elements you need to get to Tom Brady and make him less effective in a playoff game, and that's the ability to rush the passer with four and get home and a pretty good secondary. Now, I know they're banged up at safety, had to bring Eric Weddle out of retirement off the scrap heap, but still, you got a corner in Jalen Ramsey who's one of the best in the game, and they have that pass rush. So I don't feel great about it, especially with the Bucks missing some of their guys that I think Brady would go to and look to get open quickly, like Antonio Brown, like Chris Godwin. Breshad Perriman is also out.
Yeah, what the hell happened there?
I don't know. Some hip injury or something? I don't know. I think Cyril Grayson may or may not play. He has a hamstring. I mean, they're going really deep with the wide receiver thing. And Brady, you know, something has crawled up Brady's behind with Tyler Johnson. You know, they had great chemistry last year in the playoffs. Tyler Johnson made that catch where he caught the back half of the ball. Brady has hated him this year.
Well, I mean, if you watched that first half of that game against the Eagles last week, he, like, stopped short on most of his routes. Like, I don't get it. Like, yeah. He's just tentative or something. Like, but like you say, I just think this Rams team has been a bad matchup these last couple of years, but so have the Saints. So, you know, I expected them to lose in the divisional round last year.
Yeah,
so you got to take these regular season games, I guess, with a grain of salt. Brady has only lost two divisional playoff games in his career. Jets 10 years ago. And do you remember the other one?
Denver.
Yep. Denver in 05.
The Champ Bailey game. I remember that game.
And that's it. And look, you know, you usually got to look at this and say, okay, well, he is home. He typically doesn't lose these kind of games. But, yeah, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but I don't feel great about it. Do you believe any of these swirling rumors that I think really have popped up just over, like, the last 3 or 4 days that this could be it tomorrow for him? Like, this is...
I mean, with Tom, you never know. I mean, he's so good at disguising it what he's really thinking. I think it's a possibility. I think we're more sort of in, like, Brett Favre, I'm going to think about it territory now every offseason. My guess is that I think if he won the Super Bowl, I could see him walking away. I think if he loses this game or the NFC title game, I think he comes back for another year. And I mentioned this yesterday on Felger and Maz. Not that money determines everything, particularly for him, but I mean, he'd have to give back $15 million. He'd have to basically forfeit $15 million of the signing bonus he got this year or sign this year because the payments are actually deferred. He'd have to forfeit $15 million of that if he doesn't play next year.
Yeah, and so it doesn't make sense from a financial aspect. And I do wonder if some of the stuff that's been swirling around, I mean, you had the end of that Seth Wickersham column that was about Ben Roethlisberger, where, again, he just, like, at the end is like, oh, and I think Brady might retire.
I know. That's
and then
the best
Adam Schefter talking about it on the pregame Sunday. And so, I don't know. I mean, you look at how that operation's run. You refer to Bruce Arians, rightfully so, as a passenger. He looks like a shaved Chewbacca with the way that he wears that headset thing. Really, notice that.
That's
like across his chest. Yeah.
Oh, my God. He looks like a tourist, like an old man European tourist, like a tourist who's just lost in Europe, like just wandering, like, where's this museum?
He's acting like Harry Hardo, slapping a special teams player upside the head because the dude's, like, you know, getting a little too into the scrum last week in a play on a special teams play. He gets in the way of the operation. So do you think that maybe part of this on Brady's behalf, these swirling rumors, is him essentially telling the Bucks it's him or me? Like, if you want me to stay around, you got to get rid of Chewy there on the sideline.
So this is a weird thing. And you know, Brady doesn't like change, and he doesn't like change, especially as he gets into this point in his career. And I know it's strange to say when you're talking about him leaving New England, obviously, but I wonder if part of this is like, hey, I know Leftwich is being interviewed for these jobs. I don't want to have to break in another offensive coordinator in my final year in the NFL. I would rather have Leftwich stay here. Leftwich wants a head coaching job. What about here? Let's get rid of Bruce. You know, because I think Leftwich is more important to me than Bruce. And
yeah.
So I wonder if part of this is like a power play to get Arians out to keep Leftwich and make him the head coach.
Or Todd Bowles.
Or Bowles. Yeah.
You know, either of those guys. So, all right, and I get it. Right now, I'm sure there's some guy, you know, out doing his errands. He's like, you know what? You got to talk about the team from around here. What about the Pats? Well, it's not our fault they got curb stomped in Buffalo last Saturday. A game that you didn't go to that, right?
No, I wasn't there.
Thank God. Lucky you. I mean, I know for people that went as, like, fans.
Really?
Trekked out there for 7 hours and then... you had to feel like you had egg on your face and like, oh, my God, I have wasted all this money and this time. Come out here at 14-0. You know the thing's over, especially at 14-0 and they run 3 straight run plays and then punt. Gross, Chris. Gross. I liked it. And here I am, speaking of egg in your face, I liked him in this game.
I did, too. I mean, I you know, I have to be honest. I sort of went fanboy on that game because I was like, you know what, third time. Belichick, like, Belichick's going to cook up something,
yeah.
You know? And that was, I was struggling all week to justify my pick logically, and I really couldn't. I couldn't, and I was just like, I just feel like they have Belichick, and he's going to come up with something, and they're going to find a way to pull this out. Nope.
Yeah, same with me. Institutional knowledge.
Yeah.
I take Bill and his playoff resume over that hothead head coach and Sean McDermott. I still, even though Josh Allen has now played himself into being like a top five, top six quarterback in the league, I still thought he had that crap in his pants, you know, he's going to puke at the worst possible moment type thing happening.
Yeah.
Because the dips, and, you know, the people that still look at him and say, look, this was more about the Patriots last week than it was about Josh Allen, I get it. Like, I get the argument. Like, look at the dips. Why does he play so poorly at the end of the season against, the
Atlanta.
Falcons and the Jets?
Yeah.
And even Carolina, he wasn't all that great. So, I just, look, I think that was his true coming out party. I'm not going to doubt Josh Allen again. He and the Bills own the Patriots until further notice. So that's why I think that there's only, for me, one question that has to be hammered between now and next season that comes out of that wild card loss. And that's, can Bill Belichick change? Can he change his draft philosophy? Because I think this is part of the problem. If you look at linebackers, and did that game on Saturday night make him realize, if you're going to try to stop Josh Allen and you have to now face him going forward until further notice in this division twice a year, you need smaller, faster linebackers, not big plodding ones. Like, it's 1989. You know, I think that's one of the things he has to change. Can he change his offensive philosophy? Because did this last month show him your antiquated offense that's run first and set up for play action with your pea shooter quarterback, it doesn't work when you get behind. It doesn't. And it doesn't work against today's quarterbacks like Allen, Mahomes, who can score at will and have you down 14-0 in a blink of an eye. So these are questions I think that need to be answered. And the most, maybe the most important one about him changing, Chris, is can he change the way he's insulated himself in that coaching room with sycophants, kids, and fat, greasy morons like Matt Patricia? I know that's mean, but I had to take my shot. I'm a dick. I get it. But maybe have some opposing views in there with your theories, the way you're doing things.
Like that. I mean, I remember Rodney Harrison talking about the year they had Dom Capers in there. And, you know, everybody looks back. Dom Capers was basically just insurance in case Bill got suspended for Spygate.
Yeah.
But they had Dom Capers, who were, you know, master of the, one of the masters, at least, along with Dick LeBeau, of the zone blitz. And Rodney Harrison said, yeah, Bill didn't let Dom do any of his S that year.
Well, that was then, and that's when you had the greatest quarterback of all time. But the bottom line is this, Chris, I think for me, if the answer is no to these three questions, they're not going to go anywhere. Nothing's really going to change. You'll compete. You'll get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But like championship level winning Super Bowls, plural, with this team, with Bill Belichick at the helm, I don't think it's going to happen because he has to change philosophically in those three areas.
Yeah, I think, look, when you look at it, I think he has to adjust to the reality of not having Brady, which is that offensively, I think they're going to have to invest more and they're going to have to do basically what the rest of the league does, which is get your quarterback some premium skill guys. Now, I think that the weapons were better than people made them out to be this year, because I have to be honest, it drove me nuts. Like when they were winning, you know, they win seven in a row, I didn't hear word one about the weapons. It was Mac is great, Mac is a top 10 quarterback, you know, blah blah blah. And the moment they start losing games, much like they did, you know, the 2-4 start and then losing four out of the final five, it's like, well, he has no weapons. He doesn't have, it's not a situation where he has no weapons, but because he is limited as a quarterback and he's not going to reach the Brady level, few are, he needs more around him than Brady did. It's just that simple. So if they're going to go out this offseason, you know, and get a number one receiver to put with the guys they already have, I think that would help Mac a lot. I mean, just look at the way he played at Alabama when he had Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle and Najee Harris in the backfield as his running back. He was outstanding. So I would look at an Odell Beckham Jr., who's not washed up, by the way. I would look at Michael Thomas. People have completely forgotten about him. You know, he had that surgery with the right. Saints. He's been on the outs with the Saints for a while. That's a guy who can light it up.
Would you do that Calvin Ridley trade?
I would do the Calvin Ridley trade. He has 1 year left on his deal at $11 million. I think they have to go out and get a bona fide number one receiver. Everybody slots down a little bit. I think that would help this offense immensely. I also think you have to look at the tackle spots. You know, I mean, if you could move Isaiah Wynn somewhere else and get a left tackle of the future, that would be great. And what I mean somewhere else on the offensive line, because he's going to make about $10 million next year. Trent Brown, how much longer does he have? So, you know, Ted Karras is a free agent. So solidify the offensive line, get a number one receiver. I think you got to build this thing a little differently in terms of arm Mac to be able to compete with Josh Allen. And I trust you to be able to coach around the defense and upgrade the defense through the draft. I do not trust you to be able to upgrade the offense through the draft.
All right, well, we are here. And why don't you, Jonas, join us here on this frigid Saturday, huh? If you're out and about, it's Casper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The phone number for you, the people, 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls and some news on Josh McDaniels. Maybe the other thing that might have to happen here for the Patriots this offseason if they have to find a new offensive coordinator. We'll get to that next on Casper and Murray.
Chris Casper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Is 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, just as an aside, and hearing this as our rejoin. Everyone knows it's Eminem. And I think Eminem now unfairly gets maligned by most people because, like, oh, he's no longer good. He's washed up. Like, all right, fine. You want to get on him because for not being what he was, you know, 10, 15 years ago. That's fine. Who is? There's nothing good about getting old. But that song in particular was never good. The Real Slim Shady, it was never good. I know that was a big hit for him.
Really?
He had a million other great songs. That song was never good, Chris. It just wasn't.
And he was just catchy.
Yeah, I guess so, but ugh, just annoys me even here. Ding, 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 ding. Anyway, Gaspar Marty, 98.5 The Sports Hub. I teased, as the radio professional that I am, in the last segment, that there could be the Patriots having to search for a new offensive coordinator this offseason as well, as the coaching carousel spins and spins and spins and spins. And guys that should be getting jobs, like Jim Caldwell, for one.
Yeah.
You know, I saw he put out a missive today saying, like, yeah, that I turned down jobs. That was a lie. You know, we can get to that later, too, Chris, about a lot of African-American coaches, like, getting looked over. Like, hey, some of them feel like no-brainers, you know? Like, why hasn't Eric Bieniemy got a job? You know, Jim Caldwell never got another shot after going 9-7 with that Lions team that Matt Patricia, you know, burned to flames as soon as he took over. Like, anyway, we'll get to that later. But with Josh McDaniels, this from Pro Football Talk this morning, Mike Florio, he writes, per multiple sources, the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, are believed to be preparing to make a run at Josh McDaniels as the replacement for John Gruden and the guy that owns the sub shop, Rich Bisaccia. He writes, the interest in Patriots executive Dave Ziegler for the GM position, strong circumstantial evidence to support the chatter is currently making the rounds. We've picked up from multiple sources that have ears attached to the broader grapevine. It is believed McDaniels would want full control over the operation, and that could complicate the effort to hire Ziegler. If they're going to give him the keys to the castle, Chris, if you're McDaniels, take that gig.
I would not work for Mark Davis. If you've waited this long for your second chance, you're going to go with one of the most impetuous and unstable owners in the NFL, in Mark Davis. I mean, he's a clown, you know, that bowl cut clown. I think that's a mistake to go to that franchise. Although I disagree with Nana Florio on one thing. Like, Ziegler and McDaniels are boys. Ziegler worked for McDaniels in Denver, and McDaniels is one of the guys that helped bring Ziegler to the Patriots. So, like, the total control thing, that's not going to be an issue between Ziegler would basically be, for Josh, what John Schneider in Seattle is for Pete Carroll.
A right-hand man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, somebody who's respected and has a real say, but everybody knows the final say is with the coach. I mean, so I don't know where Florio's getting that. Those guys are really close. And in fact, I think that in the past, if Josh had left or taken some jobs, he would have taken Ziegler with him.
Yeah, I still think, though, even if it's one of these outposts that is looked at as one of the dregs of the league, whether it's Jacksonville, whether you have a goofball owner like Mark Davis with Vegas, a head coaching job's a head coaching job. And that job he had in Denver is now 13 years ago. There's only one of 32. You know, it's, you take it. I still think you take it, especially
really?
especially if
could be your last shot if you fail, though. Like, this is it. And you've waited this long. You passed up on the Indianapolis thing. And here's the other thing I look at for Josh. What is it about that team? And I know they made the playoffs, that he feels like he can really be successful with. Is he sold on Derek Carr? Do they think, you know, and I would not put this past, knowing Josh, you know, and what he's done in the past, I would not put this past Josh and Ziegler. They feel like they can get there, trade Derek Carr, and trade for Jimmy.
Okay, that's not bad. And is Marcus Mariota still under
Mariota's still
there?
Mariota's still there. You know, maybe Russell Wilson and Sierra want to move to Vegas.
Well, that's been one of the teams that he would accept a trade to.
I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, you better have a plan because the organization isn't super stable. The owner isn't super stable. They're coming off a playoff appearance, so the expectations will be high. And while I think the quarterback is one of the top 15 or 16 in the league, do I think you can ever get to a championship game with him or win anything? I do not.
Yeah, no, I'm the same on Derek Carr. I don't think that he's good enough, but I do think that they have a pretty good core there. They have a really good defensive line.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a team that's completely in shambles.
You know, no,
again, they did just make the playoffs. You need another kick at the can here. If I'm him, I would take that job, especially if I have full autonomy. I know the owner's a goofball. And if you're trying to raise a family, Vegas, even if you're living in Henderson, not the greatest place. Also, maybe the most important thing of all, maybe you look at the landscape of that division alone and see, oh, Mahomes, Herbert, what if Aaron Rodgers ends up in Denver? Because that team feels like they're only maybe a quarterback away.
They are only a quarterback away.
Like, oh, oh, yeah, I don't know if I really like our chances in terms of the division. So maybe that might be the stop sign if I'm McDaniels more than anything else is the landscape of the AFC West.
On the other hand, you'd be like, oh, man, I get to pay Brandon Staley twice a year? Great.
Yeah, that's true. Right. And the only one getting in the way of Justin Herbert is that dopey quarterback, coach, rather. So there's that. And if you're Patriots ownership, too, and maybe if Bill, going back to the opening segment, and I think that he has to change a lot of things philosophically.
He does.
If you're the Crafts and your ownership and Bill is unwilling to budge, if Josh is about to leave, do you step in again? Because I think that they intervened. I mean, it's widely known that they intervened when it came to that Colts job. Do you do it again and say, look, Bill's on borrowed time here. Just hang out and the gig's going to be yours.
Yeah, I would do that, actually, if I were the Crafts, but I don't know how that makes Bill feel. And I feel like those coach-in-waiting things never work. I remember Will Muschamp doing it at Texas with Mac Brown. He never ended up taking it. Mike Hopkins at Syracuse basketball with Jim Boeheim, and Boeheim, the jerk that he is, like, reneged on it and didn't. I think it just puts both people in an awkward situation, so I don't know how Bill would take to that. To go to your point about Bill needing to change and not just having a bunch of sycophants around him, I do find it concerning that both Elliot Wolf and Dave Ziegler are interviewing for these jobs, particularly Ziegler, because they basically promoted him to Caserio's role. And when you read stuff and talk to agents around the league, they keep mentioning Matt Patricia. Like, remember how Cam Newton mentioned it was Bill and Matt Patricia who told me I was being released?
Yes.
Agents will tell you they deal with Matt Patricia. I wonder if Wolf and Ziegler are looking for other jobs because they feel like their power has been usurped by Patricia, or Patricia has Bill's ear and they really don't, or it doesn't matter what the job titles are. And like, Wolf's job title is not that high, but he had a lot to do with this draft, for example, this last draft. They feel like, well, there's no room to advance here because Patricia, who basically is like Bill's third son, has his ear and he's in the way. And if that's the case, holy crap. I mean, people get on Bill for having his sons on the coaching staff. This thing with Patricia is 100 times worse than that.
Oh, Chris, I don't think it's speculation. Did you hear Zoe this week?
No.
Zolak and Bertrand? He all but confirmed what you're just saying.
That, really?
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, no. And that the Crafts also like Matt Patricia. I don't understand this. And
this guy's the greatest ass kisser in the history of the corporate workplace.
And Chris, I know that, you know, on Felger and Maz, we certainly have fun at his aesthetic look. We're a-holes for that. I get it. Yeah, look at yourself in the mirror. Like, I know. But I don't throw rocks in glass houses, all that. I get it. And it really has nothing to do with that. Why I have such disdain for Matt Patricia, and I hated that he came back, it's because of how the Super Bowl against the Eagles went down when he was the defensive coordinator here. It's his arrogant attitude that he had when he
was... Well, I think I had one of the greatest defensive calls of all time, he told the Detroit media.
All of that, but it's really about his coaching, or lack thereof. And didn't it feel like this last month for the Patriots, this game last week, didn't it feel like it had his fingerprints over it? Like, it felt like it was that kind of disaster that you saw against Nick Foles and the Eagles in that Super Bowl in Minnesota.
Good point.
A handful
I hadn't
of years
thought
ago.
Of that.
Yeah, it's that. And to look what he did with that Detroit team, again, that was 9-7, 9-7, two consecutive years with Jim Caldwell before they fired him for this load. The most points Jim Caldwell ever allowed to the Lions was 400. He allowed 376, 358, 282. Patricia, in the 2.5 years we were there, he was there, went from 360 to 423 to 519 in consecutive years. And that's with, like, Darius Slay and a
Flowers.
Pretty good defensive line. Like, they, it's not like they had crap on that defense.
No, Bob Quinn did a good job of putting that team together. You know, the problem for Matt, I think, in Detroit was...
He stinks.
Well, he didn't get buy-in. You know, he didn't get buy-in from the players. They didn't have the results. He was trying to act in an imperious manner the way Bell... He's another one of these guys doing a Belichick impression. I mean, I do think Matt Patricia is a good X's and O's, you know, defensive coach. I know what you're talking about with... you know, Super Bowl 52, but you have to remember they had Johnson Badamosi out there and Eric Lee and Jordan Richards and all these, and Landon Roberts. I mean, there's only so much you can do, but I don't think he's suited to sort of a front office role. I've never thought he was a particularly good evaluator of talent. I don't think he's suited to this role that Bill's trying to put him in. And I just feel like you're shoehorning somebody into something they don't have qualifications for. And even if you're trying to teach them to be a front office person on the fly, why does everybody else in the organization have to deal with and suffer from his learning curve? It makes no sense.
Yeah, I just think that would, you want to talk about a hit to the brand? if Bill were to leave, step down, what have you. And Matt, they kept Matt Patricia around, and he was the one to take things over.
Oh, no. I don't think that would go. I don't think that would. But, you know, again, not to belabor the point, but part of what's helped them, I think, with this last draft and the free agency thing and having better player personnel evaluations recently is having like an outside perspective. You know, Elliot Wolf has worked in other organizations, including the Packers and the Browns. Ziegler worked in other organizations before he came here. What other organization has Patricia worked in? It's just Detroit, where he was the head coach. Like, I think you need an outside perspective. You need a different perspective. I think that's benefited the Patriots. And if they were to lose Ziegler, you know, and or Elliot Wolf this offseason because you're promoting and elevating Matt Patricia to this player personnel role, you want him to be your new Scott Pioli or Nick Caserio. I mean, to me, that's absurd. I mean, that's mismanagement. That's like gross mismanagement by Bill if that's what's happening.
All right, more on the coaching carousel. I'm going to try to dig up that sound from Zoe that I was mentioning a few days ago, too, when we come back. But that and your calls, I promise, next on Gasper Murray.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just watch things, and I see it. And I know Matt. We know Matt forever. I mean, I just go back to camp. He's in Bill's hip pocket. They're always whispering. They're always talking together. He and Bill are inseparable at practice. The Cam Newton story. When Cam told the story about getting released, he came in getting excited that day. And said, hey, coach, went to see you, walks in. He said, Bill and Matt Patricia were sitting there waiting for him. He's already elevated to somewhat personnel. Wasn't Ziegler and Wolf and, you know, Groh sitting there with Bill waiting for him. Matt was a head coach. He had to cut guys himself. Now all of a sudden he's back here and you know where his office is. You hear how much help and stock he's putting into things and how much Bill relies on him. And say Mayo gets plucked here. Wouldn't shock me if he becomes defensive coordinator. Like named it. And Steve continues to study under him. But he grooms Steve. You see what I'm saying?
So
I think he could assume many roles here.
So, like, so GM slash defensive coordinator?
But that would bring him out. You'd have to get, you know, elevate, maybe grow more and bring in the next guy. Like, they got guys ready to go.
Why do you think he'd be going back to the sidelines?
I think coaches are coaches.
All right, but that would offer nothing but a roadblock for Steve Belichick. And if he was going back to the sideline, wouldn't he have done that this year?
I don't know. It's different when you're coming off getting fired as a head coach and you know, your good friend comes to you and says, I need help. I need you to help me in this area of our football team. You're from here. You understand the way we do things. You know, we're losing Ernie. I don't know what exactly Ernie totally did, but it seemed like Patricia took on many roles here instantaneously when he came back. Boom. Smart guy. We all know he's smart, whether you're a Patricia guy or not. I just wouldn't be shocked by any elevation of him to either GM or defensive coordinator. Or say Josh Rolls. Could be head coach. I don't know. I think the Crafts like him.
Great.
And the most appropriate response there by Mark the Beetle Bertrand. Great.
Great.
You know, Zoe's informed. They love Zoe. I don't think that's him shooting from the hip. They love Matt Patricia down there. It makes no sense to me, Chris. None. Just, again, with his coaching, or lack thereof, and how these teams defensively have gone completely into the trash. Whether it was the end of his D.C. tenure here with the Patriots, again, Super Bowl 52, Eagles, Nick effing Foles. And then he goes to the Lions and turns that completely upside down after Jim Caldwell had them, you know, trending upward at 9-7, two consecutive years, and some good defensive players. And now this, the way that this ended this last month in this playoff game last week for the Patriots, didn't it feel like that had Matt Patricia's fingerprints on it? You're telling me that they would elevate him, possibly even to head coach? Ugh. Ugh. Like Beetle said, great.
I know. Yeah, I mean, that's scary. I'll be honest with you. I would rather have him as defensive coordinator, though, just overseeing that side of the ball than overseeing the construction of the roster.
Yeah.
I think he's more qualified for the former than the latter, you know?
Yeah. I just don't want him anywhere around this place. I knew
it was too late for that because he's ingratiated himself with Bill. To, you know, pretty much like no other, you know, you see it after the games, like you'd see after the games, like, you know, Linda Holiday would come up and like hug and kiss him. I mean, he's practically family for the Belichicks. And so I feel like Bill firing Patricia or not giving him a prominent role is pretty much the same as him firing or not giving a prominent role to Steve Belichick or Brian Belichick.
I want to touch quickly on a column that you posted on the Boston Globe today about the NFL's double standard when it comes to black coaches. And this following, I don't know if you wrote this before you even saw the Jim Caldwell tweet.
I did not see the Jim Caldwell tweet. I wrote before that.
Yeah, so 3 hours ago, Jim Caldwell on Twitter writes, "I would like to correct an erroneous report that I turned down opportunities to interview for the head coaching job with Minnesota and Las Vegas. Those reports are not true," when he writes a full statement. You know, I mentioned earlier today, Chris, like there's some dudes that it's just like, how has Eric Bieniemy not got a job yet?
Yeah.
When he has helped be the architect of that offense along with Andy Reid in Kansas City and in the rise of Patrick Mahomes. That he didn't get a job last year blows my mind. But quickly, for those that have yet to read it, just like kind of a quick synopsis of this column and what's going on with the coaching carousel. And how did you feel about Brian Flores losing that job in Miami? That's the one that's most mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
Joe Judge, I know you and I celebrated. That one was like a fist pump, like, F you a-hole, you never should have had that job in the first place. But that idiot Dolphins operation and Stephen Ross and firing Brian Flores because you're choosing Tua and that GM, just completely idiotic.
Well, you know, that's sort of the upshot of the column is basically that, you know, for those who want to look at it and say, well, you know, I'm going to look at the records here and say it's a meritocracy and that's why people aren't getting the jobs. What you have to understand is that, and Jim Caldwell just reinforced this point sort of with his tweet, as a black head coach or head coaching candidate, you don't have the luxury of pulling the Josh McDaniels and like turning down jobs or turning down interviews. And so who are the teams that normally end up hiring head coaches? They're teams that are bad teams with bad ownership and dysfunctional organizations. So it sort of becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy when, say, the Houston Texans hire David Culley. David Culley is a career assistant. He's 66 years old. You think David Culley didn't know what he was walking into in terms of this is a problem, this owner's an idiot, and in terms of Cal McNair, you know, this is an organization, I'm not going to have Deshaun Watson? He knew that. But if you're a black coaching candidate, you have to take that job because it might be the only job you ever get offered. And then they axe him after a year, and he's the scapegoat. When what did Caserio do during that 1 year there to really move that organization forward or try and solve the Deshaun Watson situation?
No, and in Culley's case, too, and I think deep down he probably knew he was going to be a stopgap, but that, I mean, that roster was wretched, Chris.
Wretched.
They got 4 wins out of that. You know, credit to that
dude. Yeah. With Davis Mills, and he did a good job with Davis Mills. And so this is kind of the problem. Like, you know, they're not considered at the same rate. The jobs they get offered, you can't say no to them, but they're self-fulfilling prophecy jobs. Do you know that Stephen Ross in Miami, he took over the team, he took over control in 2009, including interims. Do you know this will be the 7th head coach he's looking for?
Since 09?
Since 09. 7th different head coach.
I mean, I know the quarterback number since Marino, which is insane. That's 7 since 09. That's
7.
Crazy.
This will be the 7th. So do you think the issue is the coaches, or do you think it's Stephen Ross?
Oh, it's Stephen Ross.
Yeah, but rich white guys are never going to fire themselves.
Right.
I mean, that's not going to happen.
How do you not look at that dude and say, all right, he is now put together, and I know they missed the playoffs, and they had that horrible start to the season, but that turnaround, and he gave that team the 2 consecutive winning seasons for the first time since Dave Wonstead, like 20 years ago.
It was like 02, 03.
It shows you their stability. I couldn't believe they fired him.
Yeah, and so the interesting thing about that one, and I've talked to some people in the league about it, is so here's the interesting thing on that. You know, the general manager, so basically there's a power struggle between Chris Greer, the general manager, and Brian Flores, the coach. Now, both of them are black. It was the only black GM head coach pairing in the NFL. And so, you know, that happens all the time with a white GM and a white coach, and there's sort of, you know, the the sort of gallows humor among scouts and black coaching candidates and front office personnel in the league is like they're hoping, well, we hope one day like the Chris Greer, Brian Flores power struggle like isn't a big deal. It becomes just like the power struggle between a white GM and a white coach. But the reality there is Stephen Ross destabilized that situation because Chris Greer, who's been there forever, got his ear and he basically ended up choosing Chris Greer over Brian Flores. And I have to say, like, if Flores doesn't get a job this cycle, there's something wrong here. Because what other candidate can come in and say, hey, I'm 4-2 against Bill Belichick, and I've beaten him the last three times we played. And, oh, by the way, my quarterback was Tua when I did this.
I mean, he's a number one of the black candidates that should absolutely positively get a job. That he's still out there. That he, like, he hasn't been hired by the Bears or the Giants. And I know the Giants have been sniffing up his skirt. But he that dude needs a job. And the other two guys right now that I can't believe still haven't been fired, you know, so like Cliff Kingsbury, like, again, that's a guy, like, if you're some of these coaches, you look at, like, how does this guy keep his job in that swoon that he's had and that performance last week in that no-show against the Rams in that one playoff game? I mean, does he have to steal Michael Bidwell, the owner's wife? Like, that guy stinks. He should be out of a job. And McCarthy in Dallas, if I'm Jerry Jones, I go down and I fire his ass immediately after that game. How are those guys still?
But you know what's funny?
On?
As much as people try and compare Jerry to, like, George Steinbrenner, with coaches, he's not like that. And Burt Breer will tell you, like, he gives coaches a lot of leeway. He did it to Wade Phillips. God knows he did it with Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
He's not quick on the trigger with the coaches because part of that for Jerry is admitting that he's wrong, right? And he's not going to admit that. Just one other thought on this. I think an interesting, you know, sort of to me, the canary in the coaching coal mine this offseason is Raheem Morris. Because Raheem Morris got hired the same offseason that Josh McDaniels did. They were both young. Neither one of them was ready. Raheem Morris ended up lasting 3 years in Tampa. His second year, he had a winning year, 10-6, but he didn't do a good job there, just like Josh didn't do a good job in Denver. Now, Josh has had a million sniffs since and gotten offered a job. Raheem Morris really hasn't. What do people, and I'm not saying Raheem Morris is going to be Belichick, but one of the things people say about Belichick, well, you know, he has experience on both sides of the ball. Raheem Morris was a defensive coach first time around. Then he's in Atlanta. He's the wide receivers coach and the passing game coordinator. So now he has experience on both sides of the ball. And now Raheem Morris has the single most important attribute that any NFL coaching candidate can have with these owners. He knows Sean McVay because he's his defensive coordinator in L.A. So if Raheem Morris doesn't get hired or get a job offer this coaching cycle and Josh gets another job, then it's like, come on, you know what's up. Like,
because anyone that gets like a, you know, any of that the McVay dust on them automatically.
Anybody can
like
get a job with the
candidate.
Yeah,
no,
the McVay dust. He now has that. He knows Sean McVay. Have you seen that meme that's like out there on Twitter? Like, it's like a coaching candidate. It's like a black coaching candidate.
No.
And he's being interviewed. It's like a meme. It's like a video. And one of the questions is like, so do you know Sean McVay?
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not going to fire Mike McCarthy because, like Chris said, I handle my coaches like I handle coitus. I take it nice and slow. Give him time is what I like to do. That's right. That's why I ain't going to fire him. And he's got that heavy bosom, too. That's why I like keeping Mike McCarthy around. I like looking at it, gazing at it. I can't believe he hasn't fired him. What a disaster that was.
No, that was
team.
So bad.
Ugh, God. Couldn't just win so the Bucs could have that layup against Dallas this weekend. Nope. Couldn't help me out on that. All right. I know I teased phone calls, and I see you hanging. You want to yell about Matt Patricia, the coaches, all of this. We'll get to those calls next here on Gasper Murray, I promise.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper.
Oh my God.
Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's
football heavy this first hour of Gasper Murray leading into the Sports Hub Celtics show coming up in just mere minutes here on 98.5 The Sports Hub with yours truly, Jim Murray, Chris Gasper.
Boy, we got a lot to talk about on that show. I'm chomping at the bit here.
We'll be joined by Kyle Draper, old friend Kyle Draper well in the next hour, who, you know, the Celtics will be seeing the team that he now covers, the Sacramento Kings, coming up here in the next handful of days. But yeah, that was great last night. Like, now you can almost set a watch to them. But all right, we'll get to them in a few minutes. Paul and Worcester, though, first up here this morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Paul.
Hi. How many draft picks do we have this year?
The Patriots? Or which
yes.
team?
Patriots, six?
I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I know they have multiples in one round. I want to say it's like the third round.
And one through four and 2 6 rounds.
And won't they get more if Gerard Mayo gets a head coaching job, Chris?
Yeah, under that, they should. Yeah, they would. They would get the Robert Saleh pick. That's something that they instituted. So, yes, they would get more.
But what's the point, Paul?
With six picks, how are you going to rebuild the team with that?
It's not a lot. I got your point. But, again, they might end up with more because Gerard Mayo might get a head coaching job. There could be trades to come. But as of right now, the cupboard's not exactly bare, but only a few cans of, like, mushroom soup in there. Feels like it could use
I mean,
more.
I think, a lot of it is like, it's they've had draft in the past where they've had, like, 11 picks. It's about quality, not quantity. You know, if you hit on your picks or you hit on a couple of picks, then I think it makes a difference. I mean, obviously, they've been saying for years, oh, the more kicks at the can, you know, the better you're out. And I get that. But by the same token, I think, like, look, if you have six picks, but you have a first round pick, you have a second round pick, if you hit on those, because we've done this, like, oh, they have a million draft picks thing. And, like, what do they ultimately get out of it?
Brandon in Dorchester on the Patriots next year on Gasper Murray. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, guys. What's going on? I'm all set having Matt Patricia anywhere near this defense. I'd rather have the unknown. We know what Matt Patricia is. He sucks. But anyways, I keep thinking about receivers we could pick up, and it makes me think of back in the day when we picked up Welker, because Welker kicked our ass. Mm-hmm. And what about Isaiah McKenzie? He could be probably very cheap, and Bill loves to steal guys from other teams.
Yeah.
And before I hang up, Jim, do I go and see Tim Dillon in New Hampshire?
Yes.
When he comes around?
Yes, absolutely. Without any question, Brandon. My wife and I are going down to Florida that weekend, I would go see him again. I saw him in the fall. He's my favorite comedian, so I'm a little bit biased. But if you listen to his podcast at all, spend that money. It's worth every penny.
One of the best accounts on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, he's fantastic. Yeah. Just take the trip up there. Right. Go see him.
You're going to Florida again?
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Happy Saturday.
Thanks, Brandon. Yes, Chris. I hate the winter so much now.
I need you to, like, Gary LaPierre just broadcast from Florida.
I would love to. Are you kidding? Now I get, then move to Tampa. Don't twist my arm. If I was able to still do this gig from down there, deuces in the air. See ya.
Wait a second. So you had the Key West thing. You've told me you're going to go to the NFC Championship game, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. If it's Niners Bucks,
you're going.
Yes. You'll be on your own next weekend.
Okay. All right.
And then the last weekend in February. Yeah. The wife and I are going down to visit some friends in Bradenton.
You are becoming like a New England cliche.
Really am.
The crusty old man snowbird. This is Jim Murray.
No, it's funny you say that because I was talking to another friend about this. I'm like, I've really become all that I used to make fun of and detest when I was a kid. Yeah, I got a place down in Florida. Like, I'm a couple of Tommy Bahama shirts away and, like, a bad leathery skin. I already got the gut going. So, yeah. Oh, no, I'm quickly becoming that. Yeah, my wife and I got a place down in Florida. Yeah, a couple of snowbirds. We get the hell out of here for the winter. Like, oh, yeah. I just need to have, like, a smoking habit. Leathery skin.
You need to start rolling up at Red Sox spring training games, like showing up like 3 hours before first pitch.
What a fantastic, genuine response to you. You're going to Florida again? Yep. And I told you. This is when I said I was working last week by myself. Why are you doing that? They gave us the option because I'm trying to bank some Saturdays so I can bang out of some in February.
And now it all makes sense.
Tommy and Lynn. Hello, Tommy.
Tommy.
What's up? What's up, boys? All right, this is what I got to say. Tomorrow, I know you guys are highly down about the Bucks, but I'm going to give you guys some confidence and make you guys positive.
All right.
You ready?
Yes.
All right. Scotty Miller, they need to use him. He will be a big key factor for Brady. And Tyler Johnson needs to start catching the ball from him so Brady doesn't get frustrated with him. And I'm pulling off TB12. I want to see a TB12 versus Buffalo Super Bowl. If you guys are New England heavy, that's who we should all be rooting for.
Tommy,
go Bucks.
Yeah, go Bucks, Tommy. Scotty Miller's Scotty Miller's a good point. That's another guy that was such a factor in that postseason last year, especially in that NFC Championship game. We all remember that big catch down the left sideline before that first half ended. Oh, so good. What happened to him this year?
Yeah,
I know he had the toe
up.
Injury, but still, like they're just like using him as a special teamer. He's not really part of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think maybe they could use him in some Deebo Samuel type ways against the Rams. I'll tell you what: if you're Byron Leftwich and you want a coaching job, I know I just spoke about this before. This is your opportunity. Like, what do you have in the bag? What can you scheme up without some of these receivers? Can you come up with something with Scotty Miller? Can you have a fake jet sweep that leads to a screen pass to Leonard Fournette? Do you have a fake orbit motion end around that turns into a go route or wheel route for Scotty Miller? Like, what do you have in your bag? Because you're going to need some stuff in your bag against the Rams. So it should be really interesting to see that. By the way, I know we have to do a Sports Hub Celtics show. I disagree. Everybody, including you, was saying you want Tampa Bay Buffalo. I want Tampa Tennessee because I think Tannehill might be the you're going to go with that a-hole from Brady.
Oh, right. You've thought that for a while, too. Is that informed?
It's not super informed.
Oh, all right. Oh, so the revenge factor.
I want the revenge tour of go beat Jimmy G in the NFC title game and then go beat the bag out of Tannehill.
That'd be good. And, he has that whole, I know him and Vrabel are boys, but, like, they have the whole Ohio State-Michigan
thing.
They do. They bust each other's balls. Like, that would be fun. But the Bills schadenfreude, though, Chris. Here we are. Great season. Have the quarterback. First Super Bowl since 93. We're back, baby. This is our time. And who are we playing? Oh, my God, no. Oh,
but what if?
No.
But look at the flip side of that. What if the Bills exercise the demons? They beat the bag out of Belichick, and then they beat Brady in a Super Bowl? I don't even want to risk that.
If the Bills won, though, it wouldn't bother me that much. I know.
Really?
It wouldn't. No. I know some Bills fans. I mean, they're kind of broken people. I mean, while I enjoy their pain.
You do.
If they broke through, I mean, look, now I've resigned myself to this, Chris. Like, all these loser teams now win. The Capitals win a cup. UGA wins a national championship a couple of weeks ago.
How you excited about that?
Ugh. That was one thing I could hang my hat on, that they would puke themselves and crap their pants. But now even that team blowing out Alabama.
Yeah, who do you have left? Because you had Cleveland, you had the Cubs. Who do you have left?
Right, the Cubs. Cleveland.
You have the Maple Leaf.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.